You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. Hotep family, hope you are well today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can't do, will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it, but if it wasn't, you got it done anyway. But if you didn't have to do it, you stayed in. You stayed safe. I'm in the South and all throughout the South and the Southwest. The coronavirus. Actually, really, it doesn't make a difference because it's happening to in the North again as well. The coronavirus is kicking ass. Just be real. People are getting sick. They're being infected. And yes, people are dying. People are dying. And it's a sad state of affairs. It's a sad reality. You know, in fact, I like to find that sister. I like that sister. I'm going to see if I can find her and play that particular piece for you. Man, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. And then you see African Perspectives. Click on that. And there will be programs that are dated and titled. I tell you, I'm trying to find that sister. I'll do my best when I get a chance. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, once again, is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. After this program tonight, this evening, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wadhad. Brother Elliot announced another program after that program. And then after that program is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. So there is a program right after Acres of Diamonds on Mondays. I'm not sure if it's every day, but on Mondays, I'll find that out. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Thursdays, Black Reality Think Tank Millennial Edition on Thursdays. And then Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank, the weekend edition, along with the Sankofa, the Elders Council, with And then on Sunday at 7 p.m. Once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 a.m. The Warren Ballantyne Show every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yep, there's Sankofa Circle with Brother Alfonso Watkins. I tell you sometimes, I was supposed to be taking ginkgo biloba, but I keep forgetting to take the stuff. It's supposed to help my memory. Yeah, right. We buy black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Go online and check out all the beautiful products and all kind of good stuff. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba. He still has a program coming up. I don't know if that's going to happen, considering what's going on with this virus. I believe that will be canceled. I think everything will be canceled for the rest of the year. Renoko Rashidi has already done that. So I'm going to. But go to his website or give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. Also, too, if you want to just check out photos from previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. You want to check out videos of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. No, excuse me. Yes, Bomani 2007. Make sure we get it right. Okay. Also, too, as I just mentioned, that Renoko's, his has already been rescheduled going to Uganda and Rwanda next year, January 21st through February 4th, and then going to Kemet. He's going to go to Kemet August 1st to August 14th, 2021. So, Habesha Incorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org and see the work that is being done by those beautiful brothers and sisters. HabeshaIncorporated.org. They're doing work on the continent, and of course, they're doing work here. Habesha. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. The work they're doing in Ghana is just phenomenal. The Kashi Project. And so that's what I'm saying. Everything that I announce, I'm asking you to check it out. And if you feel you would like to support it, because I believe that everything that I try to bring to you deserves to be supported in some way by us, because it benefits us. Yep. So, Habesha. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. And I drove by the Greenbrier Mall. I didn't stop in and get a chance. But there were people who were the mall parking lot not filled, but there's people. So obviously the mall is still open. Because like I said, there are some things that they have closed down, and you know, particularly meeting places, bars and so forth, because of the increase of infection and potential death from coronavirus. So the Medu Bookstore, contact Mama Nia. Mama Nia's number is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The other place is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother, Kazimde Ajamu. His number is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. And another place that is open and is Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Avenue. Right across the street from Soul Vegetarian, right up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna and the West End Mall. So it's right there. That's right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. They also have We Buy Black products, laundry detergent and other things. They have We Buy Black products in there. We Buy Black used to have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall right by the Medu Bookstore. They closed that, and they now have products in Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. But also there is Afroletics. That's the brother who created a sportswear with the African themes. They had Roos, the Omex, the Moors, the Dogon Starseed, the Zulus, and many others, man. It's really good stuff. Yeah. So also to some Marcus Garvey. My daughter bought me a T-shirt for Marcus Garvey for my birthday.
appreciate it. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, Us Lifting Us. Their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalk.com/ULU. The program is Dare to Win. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. If you just want to listen or if you have questions or comments, the program begins at 9 on Thursday, every Thursday night at 9 p.m. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. ULU. Sanjay Dash Aidi, my sister, my good sister, Gabriela Auriria, she sent me some pictures just recently. So making sure you know how it's going and that your contribution is more than welcome. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay dash Haiti. Akaban Institute, brothers and sisters, Akaban Institute, they'll be teaching virtually and school will start. And Akaban Institute seeks your help so they can continue to educate our young warriors. Make your check or money order out to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, do so with the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, Cash App or PayPal. The complementarity conference was outstanding. Beautiful job by Sister Yah and Baba Baruti and the many other brothers and sisters. In fact, it was almost, I think, 100, maybe over 100 of us who were on the call. Okay. So now they have enough. They have another event coming up, and that event is going to be. It's a African-centered nation building with Baba Baruti. This is going to be August 8th, Saturday, August 8th, very soon, from 12 noon to 2 p.m. It's on virtual again. I'll give you the details. Once again, it's a $10 donation and probably $5 for the young warriors. And it's going to be online. So I'll give you that information again. So that's going to be August 8th. And then after the brothers, and then it's the sisters. And their quarterly Sisters Circle topic is resisting the horrification of African women. Resisting the horrification of African women. NEA Baruti, Mama Baruti, will be doing the conference. That's August 8th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Baba Baruti is from 12 to 2. And Sister Yah is from 4 to 6. And I'll give you details as they come up. Okay? Yes. The NEA Sasem. The Inye Sasem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And believe me, I tell you, the Inye Sasem is always on point. Man, Baba Baruti and put this thing together, it's always on point. July 19th. The Black nationalist tradition has always been opposed to integration, assimilation, and accommodation as a solution to the problems of people of African ancestry here in America. My good friend, dear friend, and most recent ancestor, Dr. Conrad Worrell. For Europeans, the individual is the highest level prescribing morality. What is right and wrong is purely an individual judgment. Even though no person is raised in a vacuum without the thought and influence of others, we have been socialized to accept as if this is so. The individual is seen as the final arbiter of his or her moral stance. For Europeans, definitions of good or bad are irrelevant to the means by which individuals or groups gain advantage over others. The success or failure of the behavior dictates whether it is defined as moral or not, not the behavior itself. Therefore, because there is no question that Europeans swear by their claims to be superior and systematically act on them to gain and maintain an unethical and immoral advantage, it would be asinine for us to attempt to befriend them based on what they will never give up without it being forcefully taken from them. To do otherwise would change them into something that they are not, moral beings. The only people who think they have a problem with what they are, and those of us confused about who we are and what they are. Let me read that again. The only people who think they have a problem with what they are those of us who are confused about who we are and what they are. I want to be clear. Affirm, I completely reject any strategy or tactic that would lead us to appeal to the morality of the Yorugu. I repeat, affirm, I completely reject any strategy or tactic that would lead us to appeal to the morality of the European, the Caucasian, the white man, and other adjectives. July 20th. Fear is a noose that binds until it strangles. Gene Toomer. When conscious Africans find themselves conditioned into a situation and a mentality that do not measure up to the definition of nationhood, they know they should be fulfilling despair sets in. It is a natural response to waking one's fear. Contradictions between what one knows one must do and what one is doing always creates psychological discomforts, a state of mind called cognitive dissonance. This term is used to describe how individuals rationalize settling for one thing when a more desirable one is considered unattainable. Whatever is settled for miraculously becomes defined as the better of the two, and that which was most desired becomes unwished for and lesser of value. Imbalance creates anxiety thought. Spirit, mind, and body strive for equilibrium. Even those Africans who accept their own excuses for not overcoming their fears of acting powerfully must still live with themselves. Somehow the cognitive dissonance must be resolved. They must find a satisfactory way to elevate the status of being powerless over that of being powerful. The acceptance and glorification of a role that is understood to present one as less than what one is does not change the fact that a contradiction exists. The qualifications assumed to define the role and the actual performance of it are still not in sync. This compromise reflects an African's rationalized acceptance of his or her inability to be African, nothing more or nothing less. Affirm, my spirit, mind, and body exist in a state of positive equilibrium. Affirm, my spirit, mind, and body exist in a positive state of equilibrium. The Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Well, as you know, I mentioned cognitive dissonance many times as it refers to Europeans, as it refers to Caucasians. I read that many years ago. The quote is, I've never heard of it, and read it many years ago with Franz Fanon. He mentions the fact that Caucasians suffer from cognitive dissonance. You know, they believe, they've been training themselves to believe that they are superior. And cognitive dissonance makes sure that whatever information that is out there to the contrary, and even though there's a plethora, boatloads, humongous, copious, whatever, amounts of information to prove otherwise, they dismiss it, they ignore it. They don't even challenge it. They just dismiss it. I am superior. Because if they are confronted with it, they become uneasy because it challenged their idea and their notions of their superiority. And the problem that we have as African people here in America, one could argue, we suffer from cognitive dissonance. We've been made to believe that we are inferior. And some of us believe it and act it out. Some of us believe what Caucasians say and do. Some of us believe there is nothing that we can do. So we beg. They suffer and we suffer from cognitive dissonance, a false, erroneous belief of superiority and inferiority. That's why we always try to measure things by them, to hell with them. I know two iconic people from the civil rights movement, Reverend C.T. Vivian and Congressman John Lewis, passed away same day, one in the morning, C.T. Vivian, and one later that evening or nighttime, Brother Lewis, you know. And I remember that I distinctly remember both of them as they were accosted when they were physically beaten. Reverend Lewis on the steps, I think it was City Hall, they were going in there. And of course, Reverend C.T. Vivian, rather, not Lewis, Reverend Vivian, made mention. And of course, the Caucasians would be very angry if you pointed out what your rights are. And so the Caucasian took a nightstick and just smashed it right into his face. I think it broke some teeth out and so forth. He was bloodied, you know. And then, of course, Bloody Sunday, they had left Brown's Chapel. They left Brown's Chapel and they assembled and they walked down the bridge. They walked to the bridge and they walked down, because once you go over the hump of the bridge, now you see what you're going to be confronted with. And as they got down to the bridge, you know, there was the troopers and everything waiting for them. And you, of course, have seen that so many times. They just bum rush them and start just whooping them, even sisters. So, the death of those two civil rights icons, and both of them here, and in fact, all three of them, Reverend Joseph Lowry, had passed earlier, you know. In fact, the only one left I would consider saying left is Andy Young, former mayor and former ambassador, and so forth, you know. And what's interesting is the move. What I mean by that, the move for our people is not towards, once again, that's what I'm saying, this movement of Black Lives Matter is not us. That's not us for African people. Now, definitely, I would like to see people's rights not trampled on and people treated with some kind of dignity or respect. I mean, surely. But the reality is, that's about all you're going to get here. I think it's really a waste of time and energy trying to appeal to somebody morally who have no morals. You know, John Lewis became the leader of SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, when the more radical elements of Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael, Marimba Ani, my good sister, my friend, Marimba Ani was in SNCC. They all left. Remember talking to her about it. You know, they all left her, and the more willing, more those who came into leadership were more willing to follow the nonviolent line, the civil rights line, and so forth. And that became John Lewis. And you know, they put so much belief and so much faith that they could just use moral persuasion to make Caucasians look at what they've done and then change their behavior. It hasn't happened. It's not happening. Damn it, it ain't gonna happen. It is a waste of time. We have to do what we have to do. It's imperative that we do that. We have to do what we have to do. Okay. Shucks. Where do I want to go? Sometimes I tell you. What I'm going to do today, I don't talk about Trump much. I really don't, because of my deep disdain. You know. But I just saw a few things about Trump that I felt were, you know, something that I wanted to bring to our attention. You know. This one brother wrote a piece. One brother wrote a piece, and this is interesting. Like, if what if? He's speaking in reference to what if Obama was doing what Trump is doing? You know, he says, imagine if in the face of a pandemic where America represents only about 4% of the world's population, but there are 25% of the cases of COVID-19 and they still refuse to wear a mask. Imagine if approximately 150,000 Americans died behind the virus under his watch. I'm talking about what if it was Obama. Imagine if Obama attempted to defame the leading experts of infectious disease in the country and the members of the virus federal response team. Imagine if American Africans armed themselves with weapons and stormed the state capitol buildings, demanding state governments open the economy, fought mandatory mask wearing laws, and Obama tweeted to these people, liberate the particular state where they were, where this was happening. Because you remember Trump did that. Imagine if Obama regularly told lies regarding most things involving the virus. Imagine if Obama publicly asked a virus expert if a human ingested some Lysol, like a disinfectant agent, could that cure people of the virus? Imagine if, as the virus raged out of control, Obama more and more refused to address the issues. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if Trump was black? If Obama behaved as Trump, this country would, I can't even imagine what would happen to Obama. You're right, I couldn't. Literally, just think about what would happen to Obama and those American African armed protesters if he had behaved exactly as Trump has and continues to. Imagine what would be said and what might happen to Obama. Can you imagine if Obama behaved as Trump? That's a terrifying thought, isn't it? Yeah, because Obama would be dead. A lot of us too. And that's just a fact. Sister sent me this particular piece. In response to a very general question regarding Trump's presidency, Mr. Schmidt, Steve Schmidt, is a Republican, and he spoke for 2 solid minutes and gave the most insightful and brutally honest response of what the Trump presidency has done to this country, to this great country. Yeah, right. Donald Trump has been the worst president this country has ever had. And I don't say that hyperbolically. He is, but he is a consequential president. And he has brought this country in 3 short years to a place of weakness that is simply unimaginable. If you were pondering where we... Sorry. In just 3 short years to a place of weakness that is simply unimaginable. And if you were pondering where we are today from the day where Barack Obama left office, and there... And there we are, a lot of us on that day. And there were a lot of us on that day who were deeply skeptical and very weary about what a Trump presidency would be. But this is a moment of unparalleled national humiliation and weakness. And when you listen to Trump, these are the musings of an imbecile, an idiot. I don't use these words to call names. I use them because they are the precise words of an English language to describe his behavior, his comportment, his actions. We've never seen a level of incompetence, a level of ineptitude so staggering on a daily basis by anybody in the history of this country who's ever been charged with a substantial responsibility. It's just astonishing that this man is the president of the United States. The man, the con man from New York City. Many bankruptcies, failed businesses, failed marriages, a reality show that branded him as something that he never was. The reality show did brand him as something that he never was, which is a successful businessman. Well, he's the president of the United States now, and the man who said he would make the country great again. He has brought death, suffering, economic collapse on a truly epic scale. And let's be clear, this isn't happening in every country around the world. This place, the United States, this country, this home, the United Snakes, we are the epic center. We are the place where you're most likely to die from this disease. We're the ones with the most shattered economy. And we are because of the fool that sits in the Oval Office behind the resolute desk. The resolute desk. What do you think? Because I don't talk about Obama, but this is like a what's on your mind Monday. If you want to have comments or questions, if you're on, just hit #2 and I'll get you in. Or you can hang up, call back, or just call in. So before I get to the next part of what I want to do, so give us a call. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. 404-453. Good morning.
Hey, Oshie, how you be, man? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. Wes, how are you? What's been happening?
Hey, I've just been listening, learning, watching, man, and about this John Lewis. But anyway, before I get to that John Lewis thing, man, okay, hey, you and your boy Jay and Ralph, you heard what Kareem said, right? How much he loved them Jews, and he cracked trash for man Nick Cannon, right?
Yeah.
Huh? You okay? I told y'all how Kareem was fouled, man. Y'all, hey, Jay called me stupid. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know. See, I'm telling y'all, man. I research stuff before I go talking, man.
Okay, now what are you saying? Okay, now, who, I don't like. Now, who did you say, Kareem? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Yes, sir, man. Remember, I told y'all how Kareem was fouled. I told y'all that, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. Let me say this. I don't know if you listened to the program about 3 or 4 weeks ago. When I mentioned I was listening to Kareem on public radio, and
yeah.
And he was talking about how when he was young, he went to a summer program. He was in a summer program that he had a chance to go to the UN and this, that, and the other. But he couldn't remember who the leader of the summer program was who helped him get there. And when it come to find out, he remembered all the other bull, but he couldn't remember Dr. Mm-hmm. John Henry Clark. Man, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I love Kareem. You know, I loved him, the Lakers, the King, the Skyhook, and all this. I even got some memorabilia. But I was so damn disappointed. I was upset that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar couldn't remember Dr. John Henry Clark. And he has written some history stuff that is bogus. In fact, he said that African-centered is bogus or some stuff, something to that effect. I kind of dismissed that. I was kind of a little upset about it, but yeah, that's unfortunate. That's Kareem. So Kareem was supporting the European Jews against.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
I'm gonna see you the article, man, because he okay. trashed with man Nick Cannon, man.
Okay.
He said, well, anyway, I'm gonna see you the article, man. Let okay. y'all see for yourself, man.
Well, I'm. I seen on Facebook, there's a piece with, because I know Jay jumped on Greg Kamathi Carr and said, why couldn't he support, because, you know, Greg Kamathi Carr has been on Nick Cannon's program, Cannon's class, talking about a number of subjects. And, well, I just saw a piece online with Greg Kamathi Carr speaking to Roland Martin. So I'm going to listen to that particular piece, and I'll say something Wednesday or not, depending upon what is being stated. Because what Jay was saying is that, you know, he could have came to the brother's defense, you know.
I agree, man. It's yeah. time when our brothers should be speaking the truth, our brothers and sisters speak the truth.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm with them, man. I'm with them.
And,
okay,
and
like I say, huh?
Also, too, we gotta make sure that just like when I played Brother Black Panther and his response to what happened to Nick Cannon and the fact that, you know, you got to make sure that the research is right and what you're saying is right when you come at him. Now, the bottom line That's is right. this, you know, the bottom line is this. It is not us. It is science that has said that the European Jews, the Ashkenazi Jews, the ones who dominate and control Judaism, the ones that say to you that you are anti-Semitic, that you are this, that, yeah. and the other. These are the ones that are the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers.
Yep.
These are the ones
yep.
that control diamonds. You know,
That's
the
right.
main import of South Africa is diamonds. The main export of South Africa is diamonds. At least it was for quite a number of years. I'm not sure about today, but I bet it still is. If you look it up.
Yes, sir.
Go look up Israel.
And you look at the ones that find their slavery, man. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah, they find their slavery.
Yes.
And then that's why they had. They had our folks down here picking cotton, and then they shipped the damn processed cotton to New York.
What
that's
you gotta,
why you got all them damn clothing stores and shit in New York, man.
Yeah.
The Jews.
But see, what you got to understand is you got to understand who are these people and how do they work within an environment that they find themselves in? How do they move in that environment to put themselves into a good monetary position and the ability to control the economics? You got to
right.
understand who these people are.
They own all the sports, man. All
yeah.
the entertainment and sports.
You know?
Oh, Lord, man. That's why I'm glad it shut down now.
Well, see, the fact that people say they own all of it, you know, is really erroneous, but they are they own a good chunk of it compared to their numbers. And I think that's the issue we got to bring light to. And that's the, see, they want to, see, the reason why they come back like that, number one, they don't want you to know nothing about who they are and what they do. They just want you to believe that that's they right. are the Hebrews of ancient times, that they come from the line of Abraham, that they come from the line of Moses, da, 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 da. You know, they're the Hebrews. They're the ones who left out of Kemet with all that stuff and was promised this, that, and the other. You know, they are not any, there is no way that they can trace their lineage back to Kemet.
That's right. They don't want us to know who we are, man. See, because once we know who we are, okay, like that, my man Elliot had that rabbi on last night. That was beautiful, man. Mm-hmm. My brother, he live in, I think he live in Ghana.
Right.
But that was beautiful, man.
Right.
He told our history right to the team, man. Okay, from the shim and ham and all that, man. But hey,
see, I'm going to say
I
this.
I love this time, man.
I'm going to have Jeremiah Kamara on this Friday. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I know that when people talk about biblical things, the problem with biblical stuff, it doesn't coincide with historical stuff. You see?
Right.
See, and that becomes problematic because many people believe the Bible is a history book, you know, and as opposed to a fantasy work that it is. And they believe that when they're looking and they're reading and they're visualizing all these things, they're putting us in it. And I understand that. Because when Caucasians look at it and visualize it and read it, they're putting themselves in it. And the fact that they wrote it and they presented it and they give it out. A lot of times when we read it too, we see them. Because we've been trained to see
them. The ones that sleep, man. I see myself, man. I see myself and I both.
I hear you.
But I don't want to get too much in the Bible, man. I know how you are. So, hey, look here. About this John Lewis and
C.T. Vivian.
C.T. Vivian, man. Uh-huh. Yeah, I love them, man. But, hey, this nonviolent crap they were doing, man. Because, bro, you know me. If a Caucasian cracker slapped me, I don't care. You the police, the Ku Klux Klan.
Go ahead, Wes.
National Guard. I'm fighting back, man. Yeah. See, well, that's what messed up our folks now,
About this
nonviolent crap, man.
Well, see, understand this. When Dr. King looked at Mahatma Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi had no love for African people, dark-skinned people.
Right.
He lived in South Africa, and he called us Kaffirs, just like the Caucasians called us Kaffirs. You know, he had no love. Mm-hmm. But when he came back to his beloved India, and understanding that the British had colonized them and doing all these things, he recognized we can't challenge these folks militarily. We don't have weapons. The best way for us to challenge them, because this is our land. Well, yeah, you got to defend yourself, but this is our land. This is ours. And so they said that we will boycott, you know, we will march, we will do city, whatever it takes, nonviolently. And then, of course, when information, at least they can help get information out about what the British were doing to them as they were peacefully demonstrating and not, and, you know, trying to say, this is our land, give us our land back. Would obviously garner favor with the world on their side, see? And so Dr. King, looking at that, tried to develop that same kind of strategy that we can, you know, protest against these people, march against them, boycott against them, lunch counter sit-ins, bus freedom rides to vote, and all these other things that constantly imposing ourselves on them to make them do right, using more persuasion.
It's like, oh shit, like they did with that Arkansas and in Little Rock trying to just go to the white folks too, man. See, I'm like you, man. If them people don't like me, I ain't forcing myself on nobody, man. That go for a woman. If a woman I like try to holler at her, she don't like me, I keep it moving, bro.
That's right.
That's the same scenario. And then these Negroes want to go in there and try to eat somebody else's hamburger when and mama and them and the restaurants we had the best burgers out, man. That's why I agree with them that they was wrong on them two issues.
Well,
but hey, they did what they thought they was right.
Right.
So
well,
what
they were desperately trying to do is saying that here in America, We have as much right as any person here in America to go to this store, to sit at this lunch counter, to buy these goods, to even take these clothes and go to the dressing room and try them on. We have every much right as anything, like Malcolm said, if it doesn't take anything to get your rights, it shouldn't take anything to get my rights. That's why he rejected all those amendments, all those other things that Europeans did, Caucasians did, to pretty much separate themselves from us and those who were trying to be within their government, in their system.
Yeah. I'm going to say this one more, and then I'll let somebody talk. I wish we exercised the right we got. We got the right not to go get them our damn money, man. We got the right not to go to their stores, man. Okay? That's the right that we need to be exercising now, man. Okay? We got the right not to have our money in Chase Bank and Wells Fargo and put my, like I do, money in Citizens Trust Bank, man.
I do, too. I've banked at black banks since the 80s. When I first came on the fire department back in 76. I've been banking at black banks and any other institution that is us. And I do try to make sure everything that is about us. I mean, if I'm saying this stuff on the radio, damn it, I should be doing it in life. I don't want to be a walking contradiction, But the reality is hard to do. It's hard for me to go to a cleaner's that is ours and where I live. It's hard. There is no supermarkets here in Atlanta, as you know.
Right.
There's no supermarket that we own, which is ridiculous when you look at our population and the wealth of our population. So there's a lot of things that are happening here, not just here in Atlanta, but across this country. Because the reality is, one thing that that we talked about at the Complementarity Conference this past weekend with Baba Baruti and Sister Yabaruti was the fact that we're working towards sovereignty. The people who are there are couples that understand their commitment towards one another, but also to raise up children and also to understand that we're not trying to integrate. We're not trying to assimilate. We're not trying to give accommodation.
That's
right. We are African people who are trying to educate ourselves to be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. And that's a whole nother thing. See? That's a whole nother thing than what John Lewis was espousing or what Black Lives Matter is advocating. Okay?
Right. I agree. And we at war, man.
Let me go to a break. Let me get this call. Let's just stick with us because I'm going to play something. I got to do it. I want to play my brother, Grandmaster Jay. That's right. And that's right. The NFACA. The NFCA, man. That's right. Not fucking around coalition. That's right. 602, good morning.
Good morning, Brother Wood.
How are you?
I'm doing great, good brother. Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark addressed that book on so many times, that Bible. They address it and tell our people that book is based on allegory and mythology. It's not real. Virgins don't have babies. Snakes don't talk. Okay? Donkeys don't talk. Burning bush don't talk. It's foolishness. It's based on mythology and allegory. And then these Jews get in there and got into our heads and say, well, they are the chosen of God.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They are the chosen people of God, and black folks, we are cursed because of the Hamitic myth. That's the Hamitic myth.
Right.
They say, black people cursed because they saw the father's nakedness. It's foolishness.
Yeah.
It's foolishness, and it's time for us to put down this theology that is not helping us. Keep us in a frozen mental state, and again addressing these.
When you see, Marcus, one of the things that became very clear to me early on is that Christianity, particularly, rules by fear. It is an individualistic religion. That's why we cannot liberate ourselves in that particular religion. I know there, I know there right now, there's liberation theologists out there who look at the Bible and put an African face on it, and that we can use that religion to liberate ourselves. I beg to differ. But, you know, whatever you do to help us, that's great. And believe me, if I can help y'all, I will do it, because I understand that, because we are African. But the theology itself, you know, I don't think can make that happen. Yeah. The theology.
It doesn't make sense. Anybody who has any free thought can think freely would realize this is foolishness.
Yeah.
You know, you have a God that created the devil. The devil, you know, and this devil is creating havoc on the planet. Why would God create a devil?
Yeah.
You know, and it looked like the devil, he have the same amount of power as this God. It's all rubbish.
Well, that's the thing. But see, that's the thing. You have a choice. Either you go with what we're presenting to you as the right way, the Christian way, the Jesus way, da da da, or you're going to choose the devil. And the devil is all of that. The devil is Islam. The devil is Judaism.
Yes.
The devil is any other theology other than Christianity.
Okay.
The devil is any other nationalism or Pan-Africanism or any other thing.
Yes.
Anything outside of Christianity is demonic, is evil, is the devil.
That being said, God is a dictator. God don't believe in democracy.
Yeah.
The only he's in charge. That's it. Ain't nobody else can run this show.
Right.
It's Bobby.
All right. Right on, Marcus. Listen, before I go to another call, I'm not going to take a break. What I'm going to do is play this piece. Because I'm going to tell you, this is the time and what must be done. You know, I know we, you know, I know a lot of times we're afraid, you know, and I know many people have heard Grandmaster Jay and the NFAC. But brother's on point. And so this is like a 30-minute piece. But that's why I'm going to do it now, so we'll have some time to discuss it. Because it's really, I mean, every time I hear him, he is no doubt about it, as far as I'm concerned. He needs to hook up with these other nationalist organizations or Pan-African organizations, because he is the military arm of what we're trying to do. This is Grandmaster Jay.
I hear facts over feelings for your Tuesday night. And tonight we're going to get into second half here, where we're going to do a little housekeeping. We're going to talk about some things that we need to deal with as a new nation. We've been talking about this nation building thing for a while now. I think it's safe to assume that while not all of us are ready to leave, a great majority of us know that it's time that we do leave. But what nobody's talking about is how exactly you do that. How exactly do we organize? How exactly do we become structured? How do we pay for this thing? How do we do it in such a way that everyone who wants to go can be in a beneficiary way? How is that done? Well, we talked about the structure of subdivisions that would have to happen if we were to build the organization that would need it to be built first, that would get the consensus of all the people, to determine what our top priorities are, and then the dividing of those teams into committees and those committees into bigger committees. And if you're sitting there listening to me trying to figure out, where do I fit into all of this? What am I going to be doing? And I've told you, whatever you do right now, whatever your job is right now, whatever your expertise is, whatever you went to school for, whatever you think that you're so learned in, then that is what you bring to the table. We then talked about those divisions. Well, tonight, I'm going to talk about two of those divisions because even though they're listed in an order, there is a method that we must approach it so that it doesn't fail and we become what is known as a nation state. If you have a pen, I encourage you to take notes at this point. The plan that I'm going to give you, I've given only the high overview before. Tonight, I'm going to give you some details. These are things that we would have to do in order for us to build a black nation. We already talked about how we come up with the master plan. We already talked about how we determine our manifest. We already talked about all those things. But then we never talked about how you break down all of these people into a cohesive team so that you move a nation. You see, they have you depicting in Hollywood that when they left Egypt, that it was this mob that just left. You know, they ran off with all this stuff. That's not the way it happened. You obviously have never read the original text. It doesn't say that. As a matter of fact, the exodus out of Egypt did not happen all at one time like they had on the Ten Commandments. It happened in waves. It happened in groups. As a matter of fact, the last group to leave was the fighters. You understand what I'm saying? The last group to leave was the army. The last group to leave was the militia. The last group to leave, NFAC. So how does that happen? Well, first of all, let me talk about the divisions, and then I'm going to stop at the ones that we need to talk about, my people. If this does not apply to you, then you're just a spectator. I understand y'all know y'all time is up and y'all a little shook, but it's okay. We don't hate you. We hate what you have done. We don't go around hating people. That's not the style of our race, but for us to respond to hatred by hating the people who've done it to us, well, that's any situation. So we got several divisions that we would have to have, people. First, the first division is the division of economic planning and development. If you fall into that category, then you would probably be under the Department for Promotion of Community Cooperative Enterprises. You all are going to build your own businesses. The Department of Finance, Banking, and Credit Unions, you know, so we can have our own banking structure of our own currency. See, there you go again. We can have our own currency. Like when they decide they want to, if they decide to pay us reparations, we'll take our reparation in gold bars. We don't want your fiat money. Pay us something that's worth us trading to somebody else. Gold and silver would do us just fine, along with everything else that we're going to take with us that we built, okay? The other department is the Credit Unions Department, the Institute of Technology and Personal Training, a Central Office of Accounting and Financial Control, a Department of Land Reclamation and Farming. So all you black farmers out there that are being screwed over by the U.S. government, there's a future and more land that you don't have to sit there and have somebody tell you what you can or can't grow in the whole nine yards. The Department of Transport and Distribution Agency, the Central Purchasing and Supply Agency. See, all y'all that like to do all those type jobs, that's where you would be. That's where y'all get busy. Y'all put that together. That's what you do. Then we have the Division of Political Action. You know, all y'all that want to run for council and this, that, and the third, but you know that the people that's in office ain't doing jack. We have to have a Division of Public Education. Yes, a public education, which is going to give us a foundation for directed research and field studies and the training of scholars for neglected areas and the various aspects of our black lives and in our history. Notice I said for the training of scholars, not students. Scholars. We're going to turn you into geniuses. That should be the purpose of our education system. There should be a committee of visitors, a division of education. We have to have that. Do we have to have a division of community services? We have to have a division of community services. You know who falls under that. Some of y'all work for these people already. The Department of Health and Sanitation. You know, we're talking about community clinics, the community clean block program, the better home and life counseling, all that stuff that you should have be implementing in your neighborhoods right now. A division of youth activities. When I was growing up, we had the boys club, the girls club. It was things for us to do. We have to assume the leadership role in all those areas and all those undertakings for which they are capable. We're talking about students and non-students joining hands in this race building effort. We then have to have an area that I really want to focus on, and that is the Division of Pan-African Affairs. When I say Pan-African Affairs, people say, well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean? You mean the Pan-African movement? No, we're not talking about that. We're building a nation. That division would mean direct contact and the closest relationship with the people and the states of Black Africa, the Caribbean, and other Black population centers around the world. Someone asked me on an interview today for Vice Magazine. They said, is it possible for you all to leave America? And the ones that don't leave, can you leave them behind so that we'll have diplomatic relations with you? You know, that sounds beautiful on paper. But if we have to leave you behind, it's a good bet that we're not trying to let you have any diplomatic contact with this new country, because whatever reason you got left behind for was because of something that would poison the new land and poison the new minds. So I had to let them know that sounds good. Y'all would like something like that, because then you'd be right back in the same position that you was when you was in England and you sent mulattoes down. I'm not criticizing how you got the way you are, but I'm telling you what they were used for. Sent them down to infiltrate African kingdoms so that when a white man came down and tried to get in, that somebody looked like us saying, hey, cool, let them on in. So we're avoiding all of that. So in the Division of Pan-African Affairs, there'd be somebody who'd be in contact with y'all that stayed behind. Just the diplomatic niceties, but that's about it. But as far as you having unfettered visa and access to what we build, hell to the no. That's not going to happen. That's why we have to be able to defend our country. And that's why I'm going to talk about two areas that we have to have. The first one, the Division of Pan-African Studies, they have multiple jobs. If you do this already in your job, then this is what we need you to volunteer to do, to keep them fully informed on what we are doing and how, to learn from them and what they are doing and how, and to find out what the obstacles are in each area, including our own and theirs together. So in other words, we letting them know what we're doing. They letting us know what they're doing. We communicate. Whatever obstacles we got, this division works that out. It ain't y'all out in the street disagreeing and backstabbing each other. But there's another division, and this is the division, if y'all looking for me, this is where I'll be. The Division of Intelligence and Security. You see, the division would maintain highly trained intelligence agents, not y'all running around. See, most of y'all quick to call, you're an agent. You wouldn't know an agent if you met one. You ain't never served in a service or know anything about the training or the mentality that it takes to produce an agent, let alone a double agent, let alone a triple agent, let alone a super agent. So sit your ignorant ass down always calling somebody an agent, because for all we know, you the agent. But in this Division of Intelligence and Security, we would have highly trained intelligent agents. Rest assured that we have gotten requests for members who are former members of some of these intelligence agencies in the United States who want to join the NFAC. And we said, thank you, but no thank you. We'd rather train our own. You have allegiances that we know nothing about. We can't take that risk. This would also be the place where we check internal subversion. Yeah, we're trying to find out who's trying to sabotage us. And activities of agents placed within the organization by others. See, I know it's a lot of people to join NFAC. Y'all part of all these organizations that we don't rock with. Y'all think we're not going to figure y'all out. Haven't y'all found out something about us that we told y'all? Eventually, everybody takes the blood oath. And we're going to find out who you are for real. And it's a one-way trip, cousin. It's a one-way trip. So be careful who you send, because you won't get them back. In the meantime and in between time, one of the other parts of the Division of Intelligence and Security for the new country is to secure complete records of all persons employed by or connected with the organization. That's like we do here in the NFAC. In this particular instance, anybody who wants to be a part of that black organization we talked about that would find out what everybody wants to do, to help determine our destiny, we need records on every last one of you. And here's where a lot of y'all fall down. I got to talk to y'all tonight. I have read some of the most ridiculous things about people who act like I just popped up out of a Cheerio box. Like all of a sudden, I don't have a, where did he come from? Who is he? But who fail to do basic research. Even when people are telling them, just research the brother. You'll find out this ain't nothing new. He's been at this for a minute. He didn't change. The world changed. He didn't change. The time. times changed. He didn't change. The spirit changed. He didn't change because he's sent doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was just getting better at it. So don't stop talking about what we can't do if you haven't done the research to show us what we can do. Can I talk to you? Somebody say, talk, black man. Now, the other function of the Division of Intelligence and Security, and why am I telling you all of this? Because we about to clean up some stuff before we can go forward. We have to clean up some stuff before we go forward. See, a lot of y'all think that we're going to fall for the same trick that France played on Haiti. Yes, I got to talk about Haiti real quick. Salute to my Haitian brothers. See, a lot of y'all know that Haiti is in real bad shape right now. But let's be honest. At one time, Haiti was one of the most prosperous and profitable countries on earth until they rebelled and kicked the white man out and took over. And then France turned around and told them, look, we're going to come in with the whole army, re-invade you, re-enslave you if you don't pay us for the lost property. The property was the people. So you got the slaves that got free, gotta pay you for losing themselves, and that bankrupted the country. Plus putting in some crooked ass leaders that he bankrupted the country even more. So all the work that these people did to get free, they were sabotaged by some of their own damn people. That's why you gotta have a Division of Intelligence and Security. You must have this in place, because if you don't, you're going to be infiltrated. And you're gonna have people that you think standing right next to you got the same goals. They work for them. Yet y'all think I'm crazy by saying that when we find you, we'll kill your ass. Anyway, our third function of that department is to promote the formation and the training of self-protection units everywhere to defend the community against unlawful and unjust raids and other forms of murderous attacks that should occur. Do you understand what I just told you? The purpose of this division is to train you to defend yourselves in organized groups like y'all doing right now. So remember what they said, raids. A raid is when somebody come to take something from you. They come in to take your goods. You think we're going to be able to build a country and people ain't going to try and come in and steal our resources? They ain't going to try to steal what we got? Hell, even steal our kids and our women. We got to have a response already in place, the same way in your neighborhoods right now. They coming in to steal y'all. They coming in to take your women. They coming in to take your children. They coming in to kill y'all. Y'all should have a response already on the ground. I said this once before. See, white people, thank you for always reminding us of black on black crime. Thank you for letting me know that I can turn around and say to my people, where all them guns that y'all got? Use those guns to form your neighborhood patrols. Use those guns to repel any type of attack. Use those guns to self-police your own neighborhood. You got the guns, gangbangers. I know y'all got the guns. That's the same principle we're using right here in the Division of Intelligence and Security. And all y'all out there that got them guns, who you think we're going to ask to train when you come into the new nation? Now, that division, along with the Division of Pan-African Affairs, number one secures us. The other one makes sure we know what our people is doing. One of them finds out who's working for us, and the other one helps us find out if somebody done snuck somebody in. One of those is going to show us how to protect ourselves, while the other one helps us get help when shit gets too deep. Those two departments have to be set up first before anything else gets set up, because you can't build anything if you can't defend where you're building it at. We're not talking about moving to somebody else's country and everybody just pack their bags and shit. We're talking about building a nation. Y'all built this raggedy motherfucker. We can build our own. I don't say a word right there. Somebody asked me, what are the other departments besides those two that I just talked about? Well, there's a Commission for Spiritual Life and Assistance. There's the Department of Ideology and Guidelines. There's the department. And somebody said, well, what are the guidelines? The guidelines are the constitution that we would eventually write that governs us, with the chairman of the Council of Leaders acting under the council instructions. Notice I said the leader acts under the council's instructions. You all will comprise the council. Whoever is sitting as the leader has to do the bidding of the people, or the council will replace that individual. Now, I myself would have a conflict of interest. You see, history has proven to us that whoever is in charge of the military, when shit don't go right, they're the ones that seize power. That's how Fidel Castro got in power. That's how they got in power in Iran. That's how they got in power in Iraq. That's how Gaddafi got in power. Everybody gets in power because they got the muscle. I don't want to be in that position. I'm going to have too much fun defending my country. But if I have to go sit in the kingship, then we got to have somebody who can run that division so that I can sleep at night. And all the kids are protected and all the women are protected. And anybody that has a problem with us knows that our origin came from the year 2020 when shit just got too deep. And we finally got our shit together and we pushed back. Now, the final great issue that involves just this race alone is this dismal view from the bridge that was reached after this long journey. So the outlook is always negative. People are always telling us what we can't do. The problem with that is we can do whatever we put our minds to. We have set up some of the most ingenious systems illegally. We have found ways to defeat just about every type of law that we can think of. We're very ingenious people. But right now, we've gotten into a place where we have been brainwashed. And you've been brainwashed several ways. It's like they took cups of brainwash and kept pouring it on you. Here's a brainwash about religion. Oh, here's a brainwash about what the culture is that we say it is. Oh, here's a brainwash about your inferiority. Oh, here's a brainwash about y'all can't be together because y'all just dangerous creatures. Men don't need the women. Women don't need the men. Oh. Here you go. Here's the brainwash up. You can't invent shit. So you can't even, your whole job is just to work for somebody. That's your purpose. You're just going to work for somebody else. We took away your desire to build your own stuff. We took away, you don't know how to mass produce for your own people. We took that away. Ah. Now when somebody comes along with some mental bleach, with some spiritual Brillo pads, scrub down your soul and bleach your mind to get you clean, you resist. You running. It's like the, remember when you was a, here the comedy come. Remember when you was a kid that was always the one child in the family who thought that a bath was the end of the world? They had to chase this motherfucker down and tie him down and hog tie him and bring him back and toss his ass in the tub. Remember when you used to get in the tub? Your mama said, make sure you wash your ass, and you just get in the tub and stand there and look around. Didn't turn on the water. She know you didn't. Then you used to run the water and move your hands around. Why were you afraid of washing your ass? Some of y'all got that same mentality about your mind. We got to chase you with the fucking bleach. We got to hold you down and feed you the lesson. We got to stick the shit down your throat and hold you to bring it out. That's what we have to do. That's what I'm finding is the hardest part about this whole process. It's not explaining to my people exactly what it is that we have to do. It is getting them to do it. And do it with a purpose and do it like it's going to save all of us. I know some of y'all don't care about yourself, so you don't care about us. Have a seat. I know some of y'all don't think that there's a problem. You know, this is great. We love it here. Have a seat. I know there's a lot of y'all that think, well, I don't want to lose what I got. Oh, have a seat. But for the rest of us that have been victimized, oppressed, depressed, regressed, and not impressed, we ready to try something different. You see, we've been in this relationship a long time. And if I'm talking to you, America, I want to talk like, you know, I called you, you know, before you go and do what you're going to do, can I have a word with you? Look, we've been in this relationship a long time. And we've had our ups and our downs, and we had some good times. But you're abusive now. You keep putting your hands on me. You keep choking me. You shot me. You hanging me. You, and then on top of that, when I asked you to help me, you hurt me even more, America. You're abusive. And I don't really want to do nothing to you, but you're pushing me into a corner where I'm going to have to boil some water, boil some grits, wait for you to go to sleep, light your ass up. Okay? Old school. This relationship ain't working out. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a bigger person, and I'm going to leave this motherfucker. Now, when I leave, don't try to stop me. Because if you do that, then that's going to be the last straw. Okay? I will not be held again. I will not be put in bondage again. I will not have a chain on me again. If I have to go, I'm not going by my damn self. I keep telling y'all, I'm going to show up at the pearly gates a little early, and Gabriel or Michael or Raphael or one of them will be standing there and be like, what are you doing here? You early. I said, I know, but look, I brought all these motherfuckers with me. So what's happening? Okay, don't put me in that situation. Don't put, I'm speaking as a black race, don't put me in this situation. Because it's not going to go the way you think it's going to go. It's not because I say so. It's because the Most High says so, and the time is now. So if you ain't one of them other groups, you just have a seat. Okay, you can't be a part of this. Now, somebody asked me, what about all our bros in prison? See, you didn't catch the beginning of this when I first started talking about it. We ain't leaving nobody behind. If we actually start to exodus the United States of America, the United States would do to us what Cuba did to the United States when they had the Cuban missile, when they had the Cuban, what do they call it? When all the boats came over, when they finally, when Fidel let everybody go. They let a lot of the people out of jail to go with them too. Y'all saw the movie Scarface. Stop sitting here trying to get brain. We didn't even get people in jail. Did you not see Scarface? Face was a criminal that they let go. Okay? We gonna ask, can we have our people? Y'all don't realize, see, when this shit really happens, y'all gonna be sitting there like, damn, Jay told us all this shit was gonna happen. And it's happening just like that. It's not the fact of whether or not it's gonna happen. It's the fact of whether or not you're prepared for the response. So if you don't know what the world court is, go educate yourself before you talk ignorant. I know a lot of y'all are too stupid, and I'm talking to white folks now, to actually understand what the world court is. You're such a barbarian that you actually think that someone is going to come fight you over some shit you stole. That's not what we said. We're smarter than that. No, we said that we would go through the world court and have it sanctioned against the United States that you do one of two things. Either give us our own space in this country, which we know you're not going to do. Give us a state, which we know you're not going to do. We bank on you not doing it. We hope you don't do it. Because then we get the other option, or don't stand in our way when we decide to leave in an orderly fashion. Don't be coming up with no bullshit trying to stop us from exiting from this motherfucker. Here's why. Because once we file that paper in the international court, and once we have alliances with other countries, and once we declare ourselves a nation that is leaving, not only will you end up going to war with us, but you're going to end up going to war with every country that we've signed alliances with. The same shit you do to other countries will be done to you, so it will be smart for you to let us just walk the fuck out the door. That's what we're talking about. So all you country bumpkin asses who sitting there talking about they want to come down here for a fight, we're ready. We ain't going to fight you over shit. It ain't yours no way. We're putting the request on the table so you can say no, which sets us up for the next piece, which means thank you. We'll be packing our shit, all our shit, in the next few days. We will be forming a brigade that's going to get all our people to these ports, and these ships are going to take us out, and you can stand there and wave your ass, wait. I don't care. Bottom line is we bouncing, and you're going to get what you asked for. Now, all y'all who choose to stay, that's entirely on you. You got to live with that. That obviously means that that's who you chose to stay with, and if you think they're going to show you some love after all us pull off, I wish y'all the best. But don't y'all keep that same energy when the reality of it sets in. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about a nation of people saying, fuck the bullshit, we're out of here. And if you think the United States would risk war with other countries because another nation is trying to leave, you disillusioned. You really don't understand world politics like I do. Oh, it wasn't just a matter of going to school. You keep forgetting I ran for the presidency. Some shit that y'all missed. One of the things that I told you in his book. Where's the book? Somebody hand me the... Bro, you got to give me the book. This book right here. If you haven't read Superpower by Ian Bremmer, right on the back of the book it says, this brilliant and provocative book is required reading for every presidential candidate in 2016 and everyone else who will cast a vote. This book is required reading for presidential candidates. Kanye, have you read this? Hell no. Now y'all go in here and play this silly ass game if y'all want to. You got to understand how a country has to fit into the global environment in order to survive before you call yourself wanting to leave somewhere. We're tired of being refugees. We're tired of being people without a country. We're tired of being treated as secondhand citizens. So if we have to pack our shit up and take what we can and go somewhere that's rich in resources where we don't have to experience racism, someplace where people will treat us as an equal, where we can call ourselves a citizen of our own, where we can build our own commerce, build our own arts and sciences, build everything that we ever wanted, you damn right we're going to take that opportunity because it's obvious we're not welcome here anymore. And all y'all who's sitting there brainwashing yourself talking about, he must be talking about them, you keep your dumb ass here then. Now that we done got that out the way, I want y'all to realize that we got some work to do, and the work needs to start before we leave. Y'all always want to tell everybody what you're doing. Always want to broadcast your moves. We don't do that. I just told you what you need to do. I didn't tell you where or how to do it. But now you know what you need to do. So get to doing. And check your egos at the door. So, Black Lives Matter. Oh, y'all thought y'all was going to get off the hook tonight. Oh, no. I'm going to shut this shit down right now. I am getting sick and tired of seeing Black Lives Matter trying to attach what we did at Stone Mountain to them. I have said this repeatedly, and I'm going to say it on the air again. NFAC does not rock with the Black Lives Matter organization. We don't rock with an organization that hates straight black men. It's on their mission statement. We don't rock with them. Y'all ain't bust a grape in a fruit fight. So when you decide to form a militia of your own, then you take pictures of that. But for me to see my video posted on your site talking about we were defending your honor, oh no, the fuck we wasn't. We don't split and divide our black people. We don't divide them by sexual behavior. You're either black or you're not. So I'm going to say it publicly. NFAC is not lined up with BLM. And I don't want to see that shit on your site again. The same way you don't want me on your shit, I don't want you on mine. One more thing before I go. Y'all done got me pissed off up in here. Now I'm ready to go lead a protest and some shit. Y'all got to stop this shit. Y'all don't realize that that shit been co-opted. I ain't never seen so many white people talking about Black Lives Matter in my life. Where the black people at? Interesting. No, NFAC is the movement. Because we moving. And you can't attach yourself to this one. We learned our lesson over the last 5 years. Y'all want to rock with them? Rock with them. But when we start to leave this motherfucker, don't you become banging on, well, I'm with you. No, the fuck you ain't. You can leave that shit here. And if you don't think that what I'm saying is just confined to the United States, then you haven't talked to my brothers and sisters in Africa. We were born at night, but we wasn't born last night. 10:25 on the East Coast on a Tuesday, middle of July, 2020. Facts over feelings. Grandmaster Jay laying it all the way down like four flat tires. I hope to see y'all again. Again, we are trying to get some things in position. Major announcement coming. Please stay close. About to make an announcement with regards to the expansion of the InFact footprint. And this is on an international scale. I'll give you all that announcement in the next 24 to 48 hours. A lot of people are asking questions about how can they join. Let me say this publicly. Y'all can stop that. Because half of y'all that's asking to join, y'all ain't gonna bust a grape in a fruit fight. Your motives are in question. That's why you can submit everything you want. We're not accepting everybody who says they want to join. We don't trust most of you, to be honest with you. And because of some of the fuckery that I've been seeing going on around the internet and so forth, I really don't know who to trust. So I'm going to stick with the core group we got right now. Everybody else, you will be vetted. But for right now, y'all can stop all that I want to join shit. Okay? We're not hearing that right now. We are too big as it is for us not to be able to accomplish what we need to accomplish. So I wanted to say that publicly because I'm seeing all kind of charlatans and clowns coming over talking about, I want to join. No, you don't. Get out the way for real people that want to join, okay? Get out of the way for people who really want to lay down their lives to join. Get out the way of these mothers and fathers that's reaching out. They got 4 and 5 kids saying, I'm concerned about the future of my kids. I want to join. Don't come over here with your I spy ass trying to find out something because you want to see how somebody else is doing it right when your ass has done zero. Y'all don't seem to get what I'm really saying to you. You can do whatever you want. I should see everybody with a militia now. There should be like gangs of militias walking around from the same organizations that have been claiming that they bought it all these years. I should see y'all. We done capped it off. Where y'all at? I don't see you either. So don't be sending your little spies and shit over here trying to figure out what we're doing, minding our own goddamn business. Y'all think I'm talking real crazy right now, but you don't know how much how your own people are attacking an effort to move black people forward. And I'm not no weak leader like that, so I'm going to call you out. I'm transparent because I would only want to represent the will of my people, not my people be under my control. That's all I got to say about that. I want y'all to remember that at the end of the day, we're all family. We're all family. The problem is some of us forget that, and we forget that no matter what you think right now, that's really not the way things are. People show their true colors, not when things are going good. So be careful of the deals that you're cutting because you're going to find out people show their true colors when shit gets really, really, really bad. And I don't want to see any of my friends or foes, because I don't wish anything bad on anybody. I don't want to see any of you all fall victim to finding out that at the end of the day, you chose the wrong team. And if you think those people that are your friends now gonna stay your friends, I got a question for y'all. How many times this week have we seen black people who was hanging out with people of another race where the black person ended up getting the short end of the stick, almost getting lynched? Somebody got threw out the window. I heard some dude got shot in the bathroom at a party, but he's the only black person there. So my question to you is, when do you begin to learn your lesson? You keep on hanging out with the other team. Wait till we all leave this motherfucker. When that happens, then we gonna find out who your real friends are. I'm not saying it's all of them, but you can't tell who's who until the shit hit the fan, okay? Don't you remember last week they had some cops that said they couldn't wait for the shooting to start? Cops! Don't y'all know that they arrested some people dressed like cops that was trying to kidnap some people in Richmond? Cops! Don't you know that for all the protesting that y'all did, that they still have not reformed the police yet? They just got quiet. They're waiting for you to die down? Yeah. I hope to see y'all soon. And remember, keep your feet on the ground. Keep your head on the sky. And we in a relationship. And we're going through a lot of changes in that relationship. So the best way for us to fix this is we got to get up out of here, y'all. Real talk. And if you're going through a situation in your life and I've inspired you to do the same, don't you stay there for another minute. You get yourself together because it's time for us to raise up as a people and unite as one, and we don't have room for the bullshit. That's all I really want to tell you as a people tonight. I hope y'all catch y'all back. I hope I haven't scared you away. I hope I haven't shattered your theology to the point where you figure you won't come back and see me, because I'm going to tell the truth regardless. I want to send a big shout out to all my NFAC members. I love y'all to death. You're doing great work. I see what you're doing. It's amazing. The recruitment tour will be starting soon. I'll be coming to your city to sanction your chapter. We're going to do this city by city, and we will announce the cities in a very short fuse. So you will not be able to plot and plan no shit. We're not walking into no traps. We're not doing nothing like that. Big announcement coming up, NFAC. It's about to go down like a plane crash, okay? I'm going to see y'all right back here. Remember, love the people that you see before you hate them. Stop being so quick to think somebody's negative. Stop letting strangers up in your neighborhood and you just turn your head. Listen, fuck all that. We're not minding our business no more. Their business is your business. Okay, that's the motto this week. Their business is your business. If you want me to get out your face, make sure everything is good. But if it's screaming and hollering going on, if it's sirens and police going on, if it's fighting in the street going on, you need to be on the deck. And all y'all that strapped up shorty, that go to the range, that know how to handle your weapon, you are the frontline security in your own damn neighborhood. Okay? That's the mode of thought we got right now. They can't stand how we sticking together right now. They can't stand how I'm talking to y'all right now. They can't stand to see y'all walking in your spirit right now. They don't can't stand the fact that the ancestors is talking to y'all right now. They want y'all to just to be quiet and shut up and go back to being good little slave descendants. Got news for you, cousin. We about to fake you out on the breakout. And on that note, I'm gonna bid you shalom. And I am the official Grandmaster J, and this is the original Facts Over Feelings, and we are the one and only Not Fucking Around Coalition. Y'all have a good night, and I'll see y'all on the morning mental.
Man. All right, brothers and sisters, we're not going to take a break. We're just going to open up the phone lines. If you are on, you hit pound, to get you in, to open up this dialogue on what you heard or anything else on this Monday. But I played that because I've been listening to Grandmaster J, and you can too. Go to YouTube and put in the search Grandmaster J NFAC. Grandmaster J NAFC. And there's a lot of stuff on there, and there's some of us on there who are challenging the NFAC. And of course, there's some Caucasians who are challenging the NFAC. But what, I'm going to be honest, when they responded to, and I read that piece from the Huey P. Newton Gun Club on the program, the brother from the Huey P. Newton, and I can't find it. They took it off. But the brother from the Huey P. Newton Gun Club said through his research, and it was his, he was a person responsible within the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, within the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, to gather this information. And he said, I have, through my research, found that there is, and it was substantiated by him, that there are going to be some incidents involving our people. They're going to try to shoot and kill our people, you know? And so it wasn't something that I seen on Facebook or seen or anything or heard. Didn't hear none of it. The 4th of July, there was about 1,000 brothers and sisters dressed in black and strapped. So if, just like the brother said, just like Grandmaster Jay said, if they say they're going to shoot us at 4 o'clock, we going to shoot them at 4:05. The fact that there was a response and they went to Stone Mountain, a gathering place of the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazis and skinheads and all those other paramilitary militia groups. One of the things I understand clearly, for us, we need defense. The moves that we're going to make, we have to defend them. That's one of the things about discussing things within the Pan-African Federalist Movement. We're just trying to set that up to make the move. We ain't talking about a lot of logistical things that need to be discussed. We're trying to get countries on the same plane, on the same train of thought of sovereignty, independence, trying to get Europeans out of Africa, trying to get Chinese out of Africa, trying to get Arabs out of Africa, trying to get Indians out for Africa and any damn body else, even some Africans out of Africa. But that's what time it is. If anybody wants to join in the conversation, okay, you start twice so we can have discussion. Six four six. Good afternoon, 646.
Yeah, Oshie, what's going on, bro? Hey. How are you today? How
hey, was Jay. I'm doing fine. Listen, man, I heard you talk about Greg Kamathi Carr, and I'm about to check out a piece that he did with Roland Martin on Roland Martin's program, talking about Nick Cannon. So I'll reserve that till I hear it. You know, but I've always admired, and Greg Carr is a good friend of mine. I know him well, and he knows me. Known him when he was back at Temple, at Philly. Him and Mario Beatty and Delethia Beatty, when they were getting their doctorate degrees, they called themselves the New Jack Scholars. This was the 90s, you know, when New Jack City
was out. Let me say what my critique of Carr is I did call him a coward, and I think he is a coward in a sense. That he sat down with Nick on numerous occasions.
Yeah.
I know. Greg Carr has, when I met Greg Carr, I met him at First World in New York years and years ago. Greg Carr has, you know, spoken to basically all of the elders. Greg Carr is one of the most well-read black men in America. You know what I mean?
I would say so, yes.
I would say his book collection is probably up there with Dr. Benz and Dr. Clark and some others. Now, my issue with him is this. He knows the truth about anti-Semitism, Semitic people, and all of that. Where I take issue with him is that him as a scholar, someone who has learned it, is supposed to come to the defense of Nick Cannon. And he's supposed to check those that try to coattail Nick Cannon and put him under that boy status. And he has the information, he has the scholars around him that could do it. But he just too scared to jeopardize his position that he's achieved. So what he'll do is he'll go on Roland Martin's show and he'll do what he did and he'll defend Nick to a certain extent, but he'll never chastise and question the Jew and show the proof that the Jew is not the original Semitic people, which he knows. And that's why I say he's a coward, and I'll tell him in his face he's a coward, because he should be strong enough as an African to challenge it. But he'll say, well, Nick could back off, Nick could apologize, Nick could do all that, and then Nick could read and study. I don't care about Nick reading and studying. I don't care about that. That means nothing to me when I have to explain to young black children who is a Semitic and who is not a Semitic. And that's where I take issue with them. Stand up, jeopardize your position, and challenge this Jew who is using his so-called position of authority to crush black men who aren't well-read and who aren't well-studied whenever they stand up and make a statement. That's why I call him a coward, and I'll stand by it to the end, and if you got him on your radio show, I'll explain it to him in the same fashion and say that's why I think you're a coward. Because you have a position now to where you don't have to back down never in your life again to the Jew. But you know something? I heard him say something this week. He enjoys his little check that he gets from Howard University so that it affords him to be able to do what he likes to do, which is buy books. And that's just the reality.
Yeah, okay.
So, hey, it is what it is. But listen to his explanation on Roland's show and watch the lovely way that he dances around him wanting to speak the truth but not doing it because he don't want to jeopardize his position. And listen, I ain't mad at him other than he's a coward, but You know what I mean? I'll never say he's not a good brother. I'll never say that he's not in the lines and has the ability to do the work of a Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, and others. But the one thing is, he'll never be them until he challenges our oppressor, until he's willing to jeopardize his so-called, listen to the word, so-called position in what one would call Negro peeing America. That's all. Well, hey, that's how I feel about it.
All right.
Would never allow my I would. It's just like Oshie. I would never allow somebody to bore you and not stand up and say something about it. I would never let nobody do that to somebody that I respect and I care about.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Jay. No doubt about it. I do.
But that's my issue.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm in concurrent with that because to me, knowing that history, knowing how the European Jews who now dominate and control Judaism, even though they're not the people of the book, that they may not be, they definitely ain't the people of the Torah. You know, about, they are the people of the Talmud. They are the people of that, you know, and that particular book is hideous. That particular book, as it describes us, that's why they could. That's why those European Jews could do what they did when they created Hollywood. There's a Caucasian named Neil Gabler who wrote a book, An Empire of Their Own, talking about Louis B. Mayer and Samuel Goldwyn and Jack Warner and so forth, how they created Hollywood. And look at the imagery. Look at the iconography that they did and how they depicted us. You know,
but they're not the original Semitic people, and that's what Nick and Brother Griff was saying. Nobody wants to deal and address that. Nobody wants to challenge the Jew in regards to being the original Semitic people. And if you notice, you ever notice how the Jew treats the Israelites over in Israel?
Yeah, the Palestinian. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we at some point in time have to stand up on our square and deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I understand we don't control the media. We don't control the necessary outlets and things of that nature. But once you see what he did on Rolling Show, you'll understand clearly what I'm saying.
Okay. But the other thing you'd mentioned about how the Israeli army, the Israeli security force, Masada, how they treat Palestinian people and other people outside of themselves, particularly Africans. Well, notice how the police department treats us.
Because
they have been trained. They have been trained.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By the Masada.
They trained by the Jew.
That's right. See? And so then they feel no problem at all trampling over your so-called rights.
Not at all.
Not at all. You seen what happened just recently in
treat you like a nig.
Yeah.
Treat you like a nig.
That's
every
right.
chance they get.
And even,
but nobody say nothing about that.
And just, I mean, when you look at Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington, there ain't a lot of us there. But look how they treating them. Look how the authorities are treating them. So I'm saying, you know, this is what's in store for you. That's why, to me, the Exodus didn't happen in the Bible. There was a conference many years ago about the Exodus. It was proven that it didn't happen. It's proven that it didn't, that it's not real. It's an allegorical story. It is not historical. It's proven. But yet, of course, it persists. It persists. But you know what, though, Jay? We need an Exodus. We need to get the hell up out of here. We need an Exodus.
Well, I mean, I think we do need an Exodus, but it has to be the right Exodus, and it has to be the type of Exodus that the brothers that you had on last week are talking about.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, the reality is this. Wherever you go, you have to be able to go someplace where you can sustain yourself. And if we as African people could sustain ourselves, then we could move forward. But remember,
Black people not gonna leave here to live in squalor. Mm-hmm. Black people not gonna leave here and not have certain amenities. And I mean, to be honest with you, those governments in those places like Zambia are supposed to have the wealth to be able to give black people those amenities, to be able to go there and to work to build up those countries. When you get to that point, then it'll be what it'll be. Other than that, black people are going to stay here, and they're going to suffer in America like they always have. And the funny thing is, Sugar Honey Ice Tea about to get worse in this country. It's not getting no better for black folks. It's going to get worse.
Of course it's going to get worse. It's not ours. And if things are going bad, that's what's going to happen. We got another caller. 404-573. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, family and Hotep.
Hey, Queen, how you doing, Hotep?
I'm well. I'm well. Well, I want to say I salute my young son, Brother Nick. I stand up and I salute him for having the heart and the spirit to stand up and say something in defense of black people. And not just this other brother who you were talking about should come to his defense and our defense. And the, I don't want to say Jewish people's defense, but to our inheritance defense. But there are a lot of scholars who should have come and stepped up and tell these people that we know exactly who you are. Cornel West, Louis Gates, quote, around him.
Well, yeah, you're right. I don't think those are the ones.
Even grassroots people know who they are. So it's not just on him. You could stand up and defend Brother Nick Cannon. And it's time that we do. It's time that we do.
Ashe, okay. Thanks, Queen. All right. Well, we're almost out of time. I appreciate all those who have listened. Once again, I still got a couple minutes if you want to hit star twice and get in on the conversation, please do so. Was it the pound sign? Pound sign or star sign? One of the others. And hit that twice and you can get in and get this last little bit of information that you request or want to add something to the discussion here. We talked about a number of things today. You know, I started out with Donald Trump and how terrible Donald Trump is and what the Republicans are saying. There's a commercials out against him, the Lincoln Project, all kind of good stuff. And it's, to me, it's no way in hell. It should be no way in hell that anybody should vote for him. And all those Republicans during that so-called impeachment process, all of them should be gone. Getz, Jones, Collins, whoever it's, all of them should be gone with him. It's just disgusting, you know. So we talked about that. And then, of course, we got off into Grandmaster Jay of the NFAC. And I think I played a good piece of it, about 30 minutes, to give you a clear understanding of, and if you haven't seen or heard him, you can hear more if you want to. Go to Facebook, put in Grandmaster J, NFAC. And listen, I mean, there's on that thing on YouTube, there are people who are questioning, of course, the NFAC and what it's about and everything like that. And I understand that because there's always going to be some Caucasians who are going to discredit anything that we do that, that is independent, that it calls for us to do for ourselves, you know. But one thing that I liked what he said, he says, hey, when we make this move, don't stand in our way. Don't stand in our way. Because to me, this is a move that must be made. I hope the move is coming into existence to be made while I'm still here. I hope to be around for quite a few years. I really do. Hope to be around to see that happen. So, brothers and sisters, we appreciate you listening. Once again, my guest on Friday is going to be Jeremiah Kamara, and of course his documentary Holy Hierarchy is on Amazon. Go to Amazon. I did it. I went to Amazon. I did it. Put in the search documentary Holy Hierarchy. Hit the search. It came up. There's a number of other things there, but towards the bottom is his documentary Holy Hierarchy. The roots, the religious roots of racism in America. Holy Hierarchy, the religious roots of racism in America. I'm saying that and pushing that right now, so hopefully you'll get a chance to see it, to purchase it, and see it and before Friday's discussion. But if not, because that's what we're going to discuss, I'm going to tell you right now, it's excellent. It is an excellent piece to help you understand racism. Now, understand there's no such thing as race. Oh, I stuck. My time is up. My time is up. I appreciate y'all. I really do. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shimhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibifohorie. Bibifohorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Ashe. Peace, family.